Good morning, Representative. Welcome. How are you today?
Good morning, Tony. Doing quite well. Thank you very much.
All right. Since we last spoke, the governor's executive orders were extended to February. Tell us your thoughts about that. You support this?
Yeah. In fact, I was the only member of the delegation to support it. I mean, you know, there's a back and forth on it, and I understand some people's concerns about the fact that we are a three-party system. You've got a legislature, an executive, and a judiciary. And they felt we were, I heard the story. Some people felt we were designating our authority and power to the governor. But the bottom line is we kept veto power on executive orders should there be a lack of acceptance from the leadership of the House and the Senate. So I was comfortable. And frankly, Ned has done an absolutely extraordinary job. I mean, if you look at the COVID numbers, the statistics, you look at the financial performance of the state, you know, I'm not going to hand over all my authority, but it's not like I'm handing over the keys to a car to a drunken sailor. This man has done an incredibly solid job, and I see he warrants our trust and fidelity in the short term. And frankly, the executive orders he's put in place have been so common sense. I couldn't find fault.
Let me ask you a question though. Let's go from a different standpoint. Is what would be the downside if this were not approved? If you did not have these executive powers, what would go wrong?
Okay, so the problem with if you allowed the executive orders to expire, that includes anything in relation to potential emergency for ordering supplies, stockpiles for face masks, etc. You'd have to bring instrumentation through legislation that could get a little tricky and be a little bit more difficult. It kind of hamstrings the response time of the government. And frankly, we are not in session now, absent an emergency session. We're not in session until, I believe, the end of January, beginning of February. I mean, remember, this is a part-time legislature where the grand total of $28,000 a year. I happen to be retired. I can go down. I can go up there at the drop of a dime. But to coordinate both chambers and make sure that everyone is available, it's a little tricky. And, you know, if there was a particular emergency, we'd all be up there in a heartbeat. But if it's administrative issues that arise out of the problems of the pandemic, he just has the authority by executive order with the acquiescence of the leadership of the House and Senate to proceed. So it's not dictatorial either by any stretch of the imagination.
All right, let's move to the next topic, the paying down of pension debt. How's that going?
You know, the first good news in God knows, 30 or 40 years. Last year, I think two years ago, we made a token payment of about $60 million, right, in accelerated payments to the long-term debt obligations. Under this budget, we did extend our payments because, you know, frankly, the debt was amassed over 40 years of non-thoughtful or careful spending under both administrations, both Democrats and Republicans. And this time around, we've amassed a balance of about $1.6 billion of, we've gone to a 15% operating rainy day surplus. And once you've reached that threshold, you have the choice of paying down debt or reducing some of the outstanding or outstanding obligations in the pension fund. So the treasurer is going to take about $1.6 billion and make an accelerated payment on our outstanding indebtedness. Now, the importance of that is, one, it sends a great signal to the financial markets. Two, we've been able to do it without raising taxes. And three, it's going to free up, I guess, about $140 million a year in operating spending that would have gone to service debt payments that now can be used, the taxpayer dollars, for the benefit of the taxpayer. So it's a good story all around.
Okay. I know you want to weigh in on Cardinal Stadium.
Yes, I've been working on Cardinal Stadium. You know, the Department of Transportation, I got dragged into the equation late into the game. Department of Transportation was having trouble accepting our access road to Cardinal Stadium. Apparently, there was not an easement in place at the origins of that small back behind the stadium road. And so there was a back and forth on that. I think we've reached a happy medium with the Department of Transportation to get access and to get that road fully built. And going forward, I'm that the road is going to be there to service the Cardinal Stadium, handicapped accessibility, or disabled accessibility, sorry, and it's also going to work in the future when we finish the master plan. It's going to be another escape/outlet route right directly onto the post road in the event of a fire and emergency. Because right now, you know, you have a massive campus, and the only exit is on the hillside. So both of those things are going forward. So I've been working to champion that. I've been working with Eversource to get the electricity and the easement, which we signed and approved thanks to Joe Kelly's presentation in the RTM. We got the easements done, and Eversource is in the process of hooking up the electricity for the elevators, et cetera. So I'm looking forward to that.
All right, and then finally, y'all, so close to home, the Western Middle School field remediation.
Yeah. I just want to put everybody on notice. We've got an election coming up in November, and I think it's important that all the members of the BET, and this, I don't want to make this partisan, but I want to make this a representation for my community. I'd like a commitment from the members of the BET from either party to remediate those fields. It's been 5 or 6 years now that the fields at Western Middle School have been closed. Before we engage in any major capital project, I want those fields remediated. I think the kids that go to school at Western Middle School, it's disgraceful that they don't have fields to play on. So I'd like that. I commit myself to champion any of their issues with the state to make sure they get the proper remediation and get it done. So I just want to see that done. I think it's very important. I don't want that to fall by the wayside. When people talk about electoral cycles, it's a matter of holding politicians' feet to the fire on things. And I think getting those fields remediated is in the interest of the entire town and in the interest of the residents of my district.
All right, fantastic. State Representative Stephen Meskers, thanks very much for your time, and we will talk to you again in November.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay. Bye-bye.